Water lilies. Claude Monet, the celebrated French impressionist painter, was famously enchanted by water lilies. He described them as being more silent and esoteric than any other flower. Over the last three decades of his life, Monet dedicated himself to water lilies, producing more than 200 paintings of water lily ponds, no horizon in sight, full frames of floating reflections, water playing with light, saturated hues of ripples, distorting clouds as they mingle with lily pad leaves facing up to the sky, and the blurred boughs of overhanging willow trees. The water lilies that Monet painted were not from any natural scene. These were carefully curated landscaped ponds at the water gardens of his home in Giverny in northern France. There he worked with a team of gardeners, populating the ponds with native water lilies from local sources, as well as a collection of exotic species from afar. Some of the most famous of his water lily paintings depict special horticultural hybrids, ornamental water lilies imported from South America and Egypt, with flowers of mauve, pink, yellow, blue and white. Here in Ireland, we have two native species of water lily. White water lilies grow happily in the nutrient-poor waters of mountain lakes. Yellow water lilies thrive in the slow-flowing canals and the gentle backwaters of lowland rivers, as well as the shallower portions of Ireland's many lakes. In spring, green leaves still curled around upon themselves make their way up through the water column, reaching up toward the light, supported by long, strong stems. As the leaves get closer to the top, they begin to unfurl in anticipation of opening out, soon to become level with the water surface, spreading their buoyant green across the ripples that they had been reaching for. By May, the big round leaves sit serenely on the surface, staying steadily afloat via a combination of water surface tension and air pockets lining the leaves, attached by their trailing stems to roots still anchored in the silt below. By the beginning of June, balled up flowers emerge, and as June tilts towards the sun and the midsummer peak of longest days, water lily flowers open up, displaying their perfect nested geometry for all to admire. Each evening at dusk, the flowers close against the dark, protective of their perfect petals. When dawn returns, they open again to greet the brightness of the day. Water lilies were prized by the earliest people in Ireland for far more than their aesthetic appeal that Monet so admired. Since the earliest days of human hunter-gatherers, their roots were harvested as a nutritious wild food, soaked before being boiled up, or roasted as valuable carbohydrates. The stems and seeds of water lilies are also edible, once prepared with the care that most wild foods require. At Mount Sandal on the River Ban near Coleraine, in the first known human settlement in Ireland, archaeologists found the charred seeds of white water lilies. These little time capsules tell us that the Mesolithic people who lived there 9,000 years ago had been harvesting water lily seeds and roasting them, one of the many wild foods they would have been familiar with. Right across Europe, people have seemingly always been harvesting water lily seeds. And in North America, indigenous people know the value of water lily seeds as a worthy wild food. Because these are aquatic plants, water lily seeds have an outer jelly-like coating, a buoyant substance that helps them float. At the end of each summer, clumps drift across lakes like a late splurge of frog spawn. Those gathering the seeds would first need to soak them for a while to remove this layer of jellied goop, then dry the seeds before grinding them up to produce a kind of flour. Another way that the dried seeds of water lilies can be eaten is to roast them until they burst, making a water lily popcorn. And it's not only humans who appreciate the everyday generosity of water lilies. the jelly-coated seeds are gobbled up by tufted ducks, coots, mallards and more, as well as by freshwater fish. The big, round, floating leaves are perfect pads for frogs to perch upon as they wait for flies to pass, pouncing to gobble up morsels of a winged meal. Mayflies emerging from the lake bed larval stage, preparing for their winged finale, use water lily leaves to hide beneath as they undergo their final molt. Dragonfly nymphs, having spent months or even years as a chunky brown bug living in the muddy bottoms of lakes and ponds, are preparing now for their final metamorphosis. They crawl out from the water onto the reeds and water lily leaves, where they have their first experience of being out in plein air. And there they transform themselves into an elegant and colourful dragonfly. Water lilies are generous in every way, as food as well as habitat, anchoring aquatic food webs, sustaining the frogs that feed the herons and the otters, supporting the mayflies and aquatic beetles that nourish the fish, inviting in the bees and water beetles that pollinate them, reciprocal, cyclical, and sustaining.
Thank you.